There's just times over the years where it just seems like there's something happening that just stops the world. And there's a focus that, whatever it be, this occasion, you may recall the story of a severe famine taking place in Africa, and it was so pronounced and so profound that people from all over the world sent billions of dollars to help people who were in trouble. And it's unique that in the history of the past couple of hundred centuries, everything came to a stop. And it seemed like nations who were pretty selfish all of a sudden weren't. And the arguments, the politics stopped. And the world was united just for a little while. As we come into our Advent season, and that might be a word that we don't use very often, it's a beautiful word. The Advent is the anticipation of the coming of Christ. And you may recall, all throughout the Old Testament, there was this talk. Sometimes it was a whisper, sometimes it was pronounced, sometimes it was written, that the world will come together as one simply because the one who created the world would come into the world. Sure enough, there were lots of people who never did really grab that, grasp it. And even today, there are people who don't believe it, but there was a time for some 30 years when God walked on the earth. His name was Jesus. And some 700 years before that birth took place, you might remember the words of Isaiah, "Behold, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called God who walks among us, Emmanuel." And then later in chapter 9, it tells us more details about the one who would come. So what we're going to do for the month of December is try to put ourselves in the shoes of the waiting for, the excitement of, the anticipation of the Christ who would come. And there's words attached to this waiting, this coming. Today is the word joy that we'll look at, and then we'll look at hope, and we'll look at peace, and we'll look at love. I love the video that we shared because it has to do with this being a worldwide event. And at Christmas, whether we've observed it or not, it is Christ coming into the world for the whole world all of the time. And that one day there will be another Advent when Christ comes again for all of us. But it's for everyone. And even though I say that, sometimes it just kind of falls flat. But I think this is one of the times when we become quite personal about our own relationship, that this is a gift given to each one of us, from God to us. And if you've ever really felt like, well, okay, I sort of hear you, but I'm not sure that I'm there, because I've never really lived my life in that particular way. Well, you're not the only one if you feel that way. I think there are times when we've all felt that way. And there are people today who feel like they're excluded. But there was people in the day of Isaiah who felt excluded. In Isaiah, the one who writes, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," and so forth and so on. And yet, even though those words were there, in Isaiah, this word was spoken: "Let not foreigners who have bound themselves to the Lord say, 'The Lord will exclude me from his people because I'm not one of them.'" Then the Lord goes on to say, "But the Lord's house is for the foreigners, because God's house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." So for just a couple of moments today, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this joy that would come. Now, we live on the other side of that because Christ has come into the world. But the question, I think, that's been haunting me for the past week or so as I've been thinking about this is, Because we live on the other side of it, because Christ has come and will come again, have I lost joy in this? Has it become so routine that I've lost this anticipation of the one who would come and the one who will come again? And that there is this scriptural reminders all throughout the Bible of having this joy because everyone is welcome. And I don't know of a better person who writes this than Paul and then John. I love 1 Corinthians 1. We're not going to have PowerPoint today. I just kind of want you to go along with me with this. And if anything is left over that remains in your heart and your mind, then that's good. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul says this. And writing to a letter to this church, he says this. To the church of God in Corinth, so a specific place. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy. Now listen to this. Together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their God and our God. It's not just us as an individual, but Christ has come for all people. And John talks about this constantly, doesn't he? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Or when John was writing his epistles, he says, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. There is this inclusion that's there. So I'll go back to the video for just a moment. You recognize some of the stars. Their clothing is kind of outdated now, wasn't it? I think that's back in the 80s when it was written, 1985. Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie got together. And they sat down and they said, what can we say that will grab the world's attention? So they just started calling their friends, from Dionne Warwick to Willie Nelson to Paul Simon, all these really cool people that often we in society worship them because they're so powerful. The last thing they wanted was to even be in the way. They had a message that they wanted to give to the entire world. Let me just read to you the lyrics of that song. There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. And it's time to lend a hand, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somehow can soon make a change. And then he says this, or they wrote this. We are all part of God's great big family. Do you believe that? We are all part of God's great, big family. And the truth is, we need to love them because we are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So it's the invitation for all of us to say, yeah, that's true. Now, whether or not I'm going to participate in this, whether or not I'm going to be involved in this, is for each one of us to decide. And when it comes to Christmas time, it's not just commercialism. In fact, there was hardly anything to do with commercialism when the coming of the Christ would come. It was something that people in Israel who understood from Genesis all the way through that there was this talk about the one who would come. And when there were shepherds in the field and they had this announcement, there was this comment of great joy that would come to them. In fact, this joy is profound. So I got thinking this past week about something I don't think about very often. And it's angels. I mean, be honest. How often do you think about angels? Somehow, in a weird way, maybe not you, but I've sort of been taught, don't spend too much time talking about angels because, you know, the Bible talks about angels are servants. So, you know, we want to focus on Christ, which I think is right. But have we so ignored angels that we somehow think that they don't exist anymore and they have nothing to do with us anymore, that angels were kind of a flash in the pan, they existed for a while. Oh, certainly all throughout Genesis, they were there. Oh, and all throughout the Old Testament, they were there. Count many stories. And in the story of the coming of the birth of Christ, angels are everywhere. They're everywhere. Now think about this. So Joseph has a dream, and the angel appears in the dream. And in his dream, the angel talks to Joseph. And he wakes up. But was it a dream? Uh-huh. Was there an angel in his dream? Uh-huh. Well, what do you do about that? He listened to it. He listened to the dream. When you go back in the Old Testament, how many dreams did Joseph have? How many dreams did people have? Where in that dream, what was God trying to tell me? And in this dream, he gets this crazy comment from an angel that his engaged wife is going to have a child. This is even before they ever came together, but this was of the Lord. Now, we've heard this story so many times, we kind of go, okay, what did I eat last night before I went to bed that would make me have such a crazy dream as this? I mean, it's just a story that we go, what? How? It's just, weird, except that Mary is visited by an angel, not in a dream, but the angel comes to Mary and says, You've been highly chosen by God, and this is what's going to happen to you. And then even before that, John the Baptist's father is talked to by an angel about John the Baptist coming into the world, and that was a dream that was fulfilled. And so all of these dreams are taking place, but there are angels everywhere throughout it. And in the scripture reading that we had today, we have this amazing story of shepherds who are in the field and these angels all gather around. And it's a profound passage of scripture. Just read it to you again. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This message, this profound message, is for all people of all times, everywhere. Now, combining that with what the Hebrew writer says, the Hebrew writer talking about angels says this, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? But there are angels who are constantly at work, not only in our lives, but in the lives of everyone, pointing people toward God. It's just so interesting to me how often angels are mentioned in this story about the coming of the Christ. And how you and I can go throughout all of our life never seeing an angel. We don't think. One day there was a man visited, name was Lot, by three men. Turns out they were angels. They didn't know it at first, just three men. Turns out they're angels. We don't worship angels. We don't worship angels. But we don't ignore the influence of God on our life. And if God brings people into our lives who we've never met, who we don't really know, who somehow have left us in better standing with Jesus Christ, we can go away never knowing if they're an angel. Because angels aren't concerned that they're angels. Angels are concerned about getting the message of God into our lives. This story is such a profound story. It didn't happen. It didn't have to happen this way. God could have spoken loudly to everyone and said, okay, it's now time. This child will be born. There he is. It's not how it happened. Because God quietly works in the lives of people, serving them so that we can serve others, so that they can serve others, and so that they can serve others. Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Dionne Warwick, the list goes on, could have said no. Yeah, people are dying. People die every day. People are starving. A whole nation is starving. Well, that's their government. They chose to do something. When it comes to the story of Christmas, we can ignore it. We can say it's too commercialized. We can stand back from it. Or we can somehow recapture the anticipation of what Isaiah wrote that would come to fruition long after he was gone, but that Christ came into the world, and then you have John, and you have Paul, and you have others saying, this is such a joy. And angels made it happen. Now, we don't know how many times in our life an angel has prevented us from one way or the other. And if you don't want to say that, you could say it this way. We don't know how many times in our life God has intervened in our life for our benefit. If that makes us feel better, let's say it that way. It's the fact that there's more to us than us. There's more to the story of Joseph and Mary and the innkeeper, and Zechariah and Simeon and Anna, who we're going to talk about as the weeks go on. There's so much more to them than them. Just like there's so much more to us than us. That if somehow we could see, even right now, how many of God's angels, spirit, is here. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, think of it this way. How many of us believe that God is here with us right now? And if God's with us, how many of us believe that Jesus Christ, who was born, who came into the world, who lived and died, and rose again, and one day will come back to renew all things. How many of us believe that he is here right now with us? And that when we commune at the Lord's Supper, and we take that bread, we take that cup, that Jesus is sitting right beside us. How many of us believe that God's presence through his Holy Spirit is whispering to us even as I speak? That he's always with us. So why in the world would we somehow be afraid to say thank you for this wonderful time of the year when we can come together and celebrate joy? I conclude with this, going back to this story that we've read so often, and the way that I think that makes sense to me is to read this story, putting myself in the shoes of being a shepherd. Back in those days, from what I understand, a shepherd was the lowliest of lows. They would be gone. They'd be out in the fields for a long, long time. They really weren't welcome into many temples or stores because they'd been out living with sheep in the pastures for a long time. They didn't have deodorant back in those days. They didn't smell too good. I mean, people just kept a big distance from a lot of these shepherds that were out there. They just did. You know, God could have spoke to the kings about the one who would come. He didn't. Who did the angels speak to? The lowest of the lows. He spoke to the shepherds. If you think you're insignificant, God doesn't. I love you so much. I allowed my son to be born. To live, for you. To die, to be buried, to be raised for you. To live with you. To live for you. To live in you. Put yourself in these shepherd's shoes. There were shepherds who lived out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks. It was at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." It's like when you're terrified and someone says, "Don't be terrified." "Well, I am terrified." "Well, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born," listen, "to you. He has been born to you. He is Christ, Savior, Lord, King. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And this is where I might say, "Well, then where's the Christ?" He came in the form of a baby, the most vulnerable. He spoke to the shepherds, the most vulnerable. He brings God himself into the world in the most vulnerable, a baby. But then they hear these heavenly host praising God. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." They had hoped that what Isaiah said would someday come true, and there it happened. They had hoped. And next week, we'll look at that hope as we prepare our minds following. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.